Welcome back to Voice Memos. In this episode, I want to talk about the No Kings protest and rally that I went to at the Minnesota Capitol at St. Paul. The protest was peaceful. A lot of people showed up despite the horrific tragedy that happened just hours ago in Minnesota. Two people were assassinated. Melissa Hortman and her husband Mark were shot and killed in their homes on Saturday morning. And another senator, John Hoffman, and his wife were shot multiple times, but it looks like they will survive. These shootings kept a lot of people home. Some protests were, quote, canceled, although at some point it's too far in. Like, you can't really cancel a protest if people just show up anyway, but I guess there was supposed to be a protest right in my own neighborhood of Northeast Minneapolis, but I went to the one in St. Paul. Governor Tim Walz was supposed to speak, but due to the emergency, he did not come to the protest. But I want to talk about what happened and the political violence that happened in Minnesota, why it's important to show up, and just my experience going to a protest by myself, because I've been to a lot of protests, but I usually have like a group to go with me. So that was pretty different for me. But all in all, good experience. And without further ado, let's get into it. So, yeah, the protest felt like a mixture of joy and anger and sadness, because the assassination this morning was very heavy on the hearts of everyone there. How could it not be? Like, you wake up and you just see the news that people are being assassinated in their homes by somebody dressed as a police officer. Like, it just shakes you to your core. And then on top of that, all of Brooklyn Park was under like a stay home, shelter in place alert, because the gunman was just still at large. I think he still is at the time that I'm recording this, but they have identified a suspect. And it's just horrifying. Like, you can't even leave your home or even answer the door, because it might be somebody that happens to have different political views than you, but has resorted to violence to sort that out. And is assassinating people too, try to get their political views across. Governor Tim Walz spoke on it pretty shortly after the news went public, and he called this a politically motivated assassination, which, yes, that's the only way to talk about it. It was a political assassination. And I mean, I'm reading The Words We Whisper, which is a historical fiction that takes place during World War II in Italy. And like, you read about these books and you're like, oh, it's just a long time ago. And it's scary because you're reading about Nazis and fascism. But it's always framed in this historical context. That doesn't happen anymore. We beat the Nazis. Like, that was a long time ago, but it wasn't. And it's happening again right now. And we have to speak up about it while we can. And for those that can't speak up, because ICE is raiding our communities already. Like, there are people that are afraid to leave their homes because ICE is monitoring their movements and will deport them. There are people that are sleeping safe and sound at home and then get assassinated because they're a public servant. It is like we are living in a different time, in a different country. It's almost unrecognizable when you look at the news of what's happening in the U.S. And to get back to Tim Walz, in his comments, he also mentioned peaceful discourse is the foundation of our democracy. And in a day like today, where there's an assassination that happens in the morning, a protest happening nationwide across the country in like 2,000 different cities, and then in about an hour from the time I'm recording this, a military parade is happening for Donald Trump's birthday and the military's birthday. So it just doesn't feel real. And I feel lucky that we can still go to protests, and nothing bad happened at the one in St. Paul. There was no violence. We were singing in the streets. People had their creative signs, their homemade signs. There was dancing. There was poetry. It was very joyful despite the tragedy. And I just think, like, we have to keep rising up like this, or else, I mean, they will silence us. That is the goal of this administration. And that's what they are trying to do with the LA protests against ICE. They want to make it seem like it's dangerous to protest, that you will get abducted by the military, by the National Guard, by the police. They want protesters to feel scared to speak out and speak up. And I mean, a lot of people stayed home today from the protest in Minnesota because of this assassination. A lot of people stayed home because of what's happening in LA, where Trump is mobilizing the National Guard against its own people. People are scared to protest. And so with all of that in mind, I mean, I just thought, like, I cannot let fear control me. We cannot let fear control us. And I took all of that into consideration and used it as even more reason to go out and protest. And I did it alone, which was a little scary. And I mean, I got a lot of messages from people I love, like, stay safe, let me know, like, when you're home, because I mean, things can get escalated and it can become scary to be out at a protest. But when I was there, like, it was one of the most peaceful places I've been in a while. I felt safe. I felt surrounded by people who just want what's best for our country, best for our communities. And I did not feel scared at all to be there, honestly. Like, I found, like, a good group that adopted me pretty quickly. Like, and they even made sure that I stayed with them. Like, they wanted to make sure that we did not get separated. I was fully part of their group. And I got their numbers after. Like, that felt very good to just actually connect with people. And it's just unbelievable, like, what's happening. But again, we have to keep using our First Amendment. We have to keep speaking up, because democracy dies in silence. And the way the speakers started and kicked us off, one of the speakers had this really great quote, even before the actual program started. So we were waiting there. Some people thought we were marching at 11, but we were actually gathering at 11. We were gathering at 11, and then we were going to march at 12. So some people were there pretty early. I was there pretty early. I was one of those people that was like, are we marching at 11 or are we gathering at 11? So we were there. We were all kind of standing. There's, like, a lot of anticipation, but no one's really, like, talking. It was pretty quiet, actually. And so one of the organizers just got on the microphone and was like, from the book On Tyranny, which is on my holds list, I've been trying to get it for months, so I haven't read it yet, but they said, lesson 12 of On Tyranny is to make eye contact and have small talk. And so this is kind of a quote: this is not just to be polite, it's part of being a citizen and a responsible member of society. It's also a way to stay in touch with your surroundings, to break down social barriers, and understand whom you should and should not trust. And so with that in mind, the speaker asked us to get to know the people around you. Talk to somebody you didn't come with and find out why they're here. Tell them why you're here. Just meet people. And everyone around me was super friendly. One lady gave me a slice of homemade banana bread, like, just, hi, welcome to the protest. Here's a delicious slice of chocolate chip banana bread. Other people, like, we talked about their signs. We talked about how, where they were coming from. And like I said, that group adopted me and made sure that I felt included. And we were just able to chat the whole time because, I mean, as much as you're there at the protest to, like, chant and listen and, like, show up, there's also a lot of time where you're just kind of, like, walking, let's say, from the parking lot to the Capitol. It took the group literally an hour to walk like half a mile because there's so many people and we had to walk pretty slowly, which was fine. But yeah, like there's just a lot of time to just talk with people. So I got to know these people well, and we like pointed out the cool signs around us. We talked about the things that were bothering us about the administration, the things that enraged us. And yeah, like it felt good to like meet people. And Minnesotans are so friendly. We're known to be very kind, very nice. And it just showed me like how important it is to like get to know your neighbors. And so like maybe it seems scary to go alone. Maybe you do want to get active and you're seeing events in your community, but you don't necessarily have like a group to go with. Just go, because you will find your group there. Honestly, that relates to like a lot of things, because I think Gen Z has become a very isolated generation, especially after the pandemic. We just don't go out and do things anymore. We don't have third spaces. That's a constant like conversation about how third spaces are dying. But the truth is, if you want those spaces to exist, you have to go and use them. And you'll meet people there that like using that space. So if you've always wanted to get into pottery, me, I'm like, just go and you'll find your group there. I mean, the same is true for dating advice. If you want to meet somebody that likes rock climbing, go rock climbing and you'll meet people there. So a little bit of a tangent, but now that I went to that protest, I have a group of people I can go to protest to with. So like we have a group chat now. So I think like that was pretty eye-opening for me. Just if you're scared to do it, it's probably because it's the right thing to do. And when I got home, I had zero regrets. Obviously, it was a great experience. And I felt like I participated in political action. I feel motivated again to like stay informed and be active, stay active. I want to like join more newsletters. I want to find the next event to go to. And it just really ignited something in me, because I mean, if I'm honest with myself, the last protest I went to was probably George Floyd, like, which was a while back now. Like, I just haven't really been plugged in. And now I feel reignited and excited to get plugged in. And I mean, I have my entrance now. Like, the No Kings protest was organized by a lot of different organizations coming together. It was the Women's March. It was Indivisible. And I saw like the ACLU, like so many different organizations across Minnesota, and I'm sure across like nationwide, were coming together to make this happen. And so from there, like you can just join any of those to like continue to be a part of it. So back to the protest, like something that I really liked that one of the speakers said was, even in the deepest moments of despair, there is room for joy and creativity. And that's what this podcast talks about all the time, is how to be creative, stay creative, how to make time for creativity. I never thought of my creativity as inherently a political action. Obviously, you can make political art. You can use your art for political expression. But just creativity in itself is an act of defiance, if you let it be, because like I said, democracy dies in silence, and just expressing ourselves in every way is a way that we resist. Just having that freedom of expression, freedom of speech, that is the way you resist, to continue to use your freedom of speech. And at the same time, that room for joy, the permission to have joy in these dark times, is so important, because I think some of us, like, we'll look at the news, we'll look at social media, and it feels so heavy that it doesn't feel right to have a moment of joy for yourself. But that's also part of taking care of yourself and having the energy later to act. Like, if I hadn't been taking care of myself mentally, emotionally, financially, then I wouldn't have had the opportunity to go to this protest today and to make a sign and to have time to go. So it's all about setting a good foundation for yourself in terms of self-care, in terms of creativity, in terms of job success, career success, so that you can go out and speak up when the time is there to speak up, or when the time is to donate to a campaign or to an organization that you believe in, so that you have that financial like stability to be able to donate your money or donate your time. I really liked that quote, that even in those deepest moments of despair, there is room for joy and creativity. And we need people to be joyful, and we need people to be creative, because if we let them silence us, if we let them just force us to be down in the status quo, to not create things, to not express ourselves, then we are conforming and we're not resisting. And so any form of creativity is good and a way to speak up and speak out. So that's just a great connection back to like why I'm doing this podcast, is because I think too many people just don't give themselves time to be creative, don't give themselves permission to be creative, don't think of themselves as a creative person. And it is so core to having a beautiful and functional society, is to allow people to express themselves and be creative. Yeah. And so this all happened even before the march started. So then we had Strong Buffalo. He is a citizen of the Dakota tribe and a veteran. And he's been writing poetry since his service in Vietnam and has been awarded various fellowships for his poetry and leadership. Yeah, so he came and read his poem, and I recorded a lot of it. I'll put a snippet in here.
You will not allow us no place to be, no place to belong, no place to be free. You keep denying us all our rights. You force yourself all over us and continue to do whatever you want, whenever you want. Oh my God. You are just killing to kill, destroying without caring, detaining so many and maiming so many. You keep on manufacturing useless stuff with senseless tariffs and taxes, producing wasteful pollution, maintaining greedy selfishness as the righteous way to be. Malevolence and total utter destruction everywhere. Everything in your big, beautiful bill. A bitter sweet pill that we all have to swallow. But all doesn't make that right, or mean you can continue to do it forever. For it ain't really up to the rich alone, or the mighty corporate conglomerates, nor the mad military weapons of nation states. Just don't pull the triggers on all those guns, or keep on making all those war planes just dropping bombs on humanity. Might is not right. Those destroying our world are the oligarchies of billionaires. It's up to the common people of the earth to change the world. We gotta start saying no.
And so I just loved that last message, and that's when I stopped recording, was it's up to the common people of the earth to change the world. And that's when the crowd just like erupted, because it's so true. It's our time to just ignite each other and stand up and speak up for those that can't speak. So, and it doesn't take much to like show up, right? You just have to get your booty over there. And I mean, a lot of people at the protest didn't even have a sign. They were just there. They were just there. They spoke the chants and they walked with us. You don't need to bring anything except yourself to be part of it. I think later in the protest, one of the speakers was like, some of you say that, like, how can I get involved? I want to get involved. You're already involved. If you're at that protest, you are now involved. You are part of it. So I loved that message too. It's just, it's up to all of us to rise up, and we outnumber them. We outnumber the billionaires. We outnumber the 1%, and they are scared of that. So it just, you, when you're there, you feel that energy of just all of the people surrounding you wanting change and showing up to make a change. And it's so powerful. And then before we started marching, one of the speakers said, protest is what patriotism looks like in public. And a lot of the messaging around this protest was taking back the American flag, taking back the word patriot to mean peaceful protester, to mean being on the side of immigrants and LGBTQ, and to be on the side of minorities and women and trans folks, just to show up for these people. Even there was Free Palestine people there, and I wore my keffiyeh because the keffiyeh is a sign of resistance and strength, and it's a sign of the Palestinian culture. I want to remember what's happening in Palestine. I want people around me to think about what's happening in Palestine. So I wore it because, I mean, it is just an important part of protesting. And it's a functional garb. Like, if the police, if something had escalated and there was pepper spray or smoke in the air, you can use that keffiyeh to cover your face. You can use it to hide your identity if you need to. So I wore it and I felt good wearing it there. And yeah, it felt good to chant Free Palestine while we were there. So like I said, all the people, all the minorities, all the causes were there in unity to protest tyranny and to protest this authoritarian regime that has taken over our White House. So after the speakers finished up at the St. Paul College parking lot, we started moving towards the Capitol.
No hate, no fear.
And it was a very slow movement. And we were chanting, we were singing. It was very, like, quiet. I could easily talk with my neighbors around me. Like, I mean, I've been to concerts that were way rowdier than that. I've been to, like, the mall where it was way rowdier than that. Like, and I felt safe there. Sometimes I don't feel safe in my own neighborhood, but I felt very safe there. I'll have to do some commentary here about, like, all my favorite signs from the protest, because some people were very creative. I think there was a lot of, like, dictator/dick jokes. There was a lot of, like, just support for different communities. A lot of, like, flush Donald Trump down the toilet. There was a great one I didn't get a picture of that was, this is what a parasite looks like. And there was, like, deer tick, dog tick, and then a picture of Donald Trump. The signs have limited real estate, so I appreciated the humor that people could inject into them because it did feel very heavy at times. So it's nice to have, like, a lighthearted message, even when it's, like, taking a jab at the president. Because, I mean, again, freedom of speech, right? Like, my sign... I'll insert some pictures. My sign said, proud Mexican-American, fuck ICE, on one side. And then on the other side, it said, I love the USA, viva la raza, and no kings. Because, I mean, when I was looking up a little bit of inspo, I made my sign in like 15 minutes. But when I was looking up inspo, again, this protest was about reclaiming the U.S. for everyone. Like, I admire my mom a lot and her work because she is an activist. She gets people ignited in Northfield. And she has been protesting with a U.S. flag for a long time. Like, I feel like even before the George Floyd protests, because or rallies, Black Lives Matter rallies, because the U.S. flag is supposed to represent everybody. It's not supposed to be a partisan image. And it's getting to the point where if I see somebody wearing an American flag shirt, then I assume that they are pro-MAGA or a Trump supporter or a Republican. And that's not how it should be. I mean, even the 4th of July has become like a controversial holiday because of what it represents. First of all, we're all on stolen land. A lot of signs were saying, like, no one is illegal on stolen land. I agree with that. How can you put up this artificial border when for years we had an agreement to have migrant laborers to allow people to immigrate here? I mean, even before that, like, we are a nation of immigrants. It doesn't make sense. So 4th of July, we'll see what happens. But I want to be able to wear an American flag t-shirt and be proud to do that. And right now, it's very up in the air. But this protest was a great start at trying to reclaim that flag for everyone. There were a lot of flags there, which was cool to see. Because when this protest is inevitably covered by Fox News and right media, right-wing media, they are going to try to demonize it. They are going to try to find anyone that was out of line or any disturbance and just change the narrative. But it's going to be hard to do that when all the visuals of this protest have American flags. Right? I think it's genius because we need to show them that Donald Trump is not what America is, and it's not what America should be. And we can be pro-America and anti-fascism and anti-Donald Trump and anti the GOP that has caved to his wishes. Yeah, I really appreciated having the American flags there. And that's why I wrote on my sign, I love the USA. I want to love my country, right? I want to be proud that I live here. And I mean, I'm not going to let them ruin it. We cannot let them ruin it. They are trying to ruin our country by making it unsafe, by making it hateful, by allowing hate groups to thrive, by allowing racism to thrive. And we cannot let them destroy what America is supposed to be. And I like to say America is a salad. I don't remember where I heard that first. But a lot of people say, like, melting pot, but melting pot is very easily conflated to be, like, you must assimilate, you must melt into the melting pot, versus a salad. Every ingredient is great, and that's what makes the salad great, is to have all those ingredients in it. And each ingredient is its own little chunk. So I like the analogy of America is a salad because, I mean, that's what we want to celebrate. We want to celebrate our diversity. Yeah, so fired up speakers, Melissa Hortman and her husband were weighing very heavy in everyone's hearts, and it is a tragedy. It is devastating that we are living in a time of political violence in the U.S., but that's what we need to call it, and that's why we need to show up. And that was the final call to action for the protest today, was just show up and continue to show up. So if you missed this one, there's going to be another one and another one until we get the message across that we do not want a king, we do not want tyranny, we do not want fascism in this country. And you can call me Antifa because I am anti-fascism. I went to a protest against fascism today. And what Donald Trump is trying to do is unilaterally, like, deploy the military against our own people, to deport people illegally, and to minimize and diminish our rights without us even noticing, and to just cause chaos to distract from everything else he's doing. So we will not let that happen. And we will continue to speak up. And I think his military birthday parade is about to start, and I just hope it blows up in his face, because the amount of waste it is causing in the budget, just to have all those people there, and it's just not something that the U.S. is known for, military parades. It's a very dictator-like move, and he is trying to desensitize us from the military presence in civil society, in public spaces. That's why he's having the military deployed in LA. And even if they're not actively like working against the protesters, even if they're kind of staying back, it is still desensitizing us to it. So we cannot let ourselves become desensitized to the actions of this administration. We need to keep calling it out, and we need to keep protesting against it, because he will continue to trickle in this display of military force until it is normalized, and we cannot let it become normalized. So with that, I'll leave it there. It felt good. It felt very good to just be part of a protest like that and to be motivated and activated. And I hope this motivates you to get out there. Social media can be so isolating. The internet can be so isolating. And you need to know that you're not alone. There are thousands and thousands of people who are feeling just as scared as you, who are feeling like the world is crumbling and they can't do anything about it. But there are also people that are doing something and that are showing up. And you can be one of those people too. Stay safe out there. Stay informed. Stay active. I'll see you in the next one. Bye.